But first, off to London. I don't know how you're feeling about this, Ian, about the thought of a second coming.
Yeah, as you can imagine, I'm a huge fan of Donald Trump. And mercy be, he's coming back to London this time with the honour of a state visit, which means, you know, an invitation by the Queen and all the sort of bells and whistles. Or so we thought. It's at the moment the main debate is on whether one of the usual bits of sort of bells and whistle, which is an address to both houses of parliament, will take place. Most people do this. Obama did it. You know, this is part of the standard protocol of what a state visit involves. John Bercow, who we previously came across as resisting the government over trying to repeatedly put its Brexit deal in front of the Commons, is quite campaigning on this and has made it clear he's just not having it, basically. He's just not going to have the president come in and do that. But there's a lot of attempts to try and undermine Bercow from within Westminster on this issue. It's also not entirely clear that Donald Trump wants to do it, or possibly is being told not to ask for it because they're not. He doesn't want to look humiliated when it's rejected. So at the moment, that seems like the only bell and whistle he's not going to get. As for the rest of it, it looks like he's going to get the full deal in London. But the full deal in this instance will, of course, include massive protests, which will greet him as he arrives.
Last week, we were joking about the Queen being tempted to break with the alleged tradition of royal neutrality and start meddling in British politics. Has Her Majesty decided to act?
No. I mean, she does, you know, on this stuff, she just has to do what she's told, basically. So she sends the invitation. She has played nice with, I have to say, people with, you know, with real blood on their hands, plenty of dictators and bloodthirsty, you know, tyrants who have been, you know, warmly welcomed into Buckingham Palace because it suited British foreign policy. So I don't think we could be too sort of idealistic about the manner in which she conducts herself with this stuff. You know, she just has to do what she's done. I do think you get a sense, you know, if you've spent your life sort of watching the Queen, watching the little hints and clues as to her inner state, if you look back at the videos whenever she was with the Obamas, she was just sort of broadcasting glee. She looked incredibly genuinely happy to see them every time. I'm not entirely sure that that's the response you'll get when she's with Trump, but that is pretty much the limit of the resistance that she can offer.
You know, I suddenly have an image of Donald Trump trying to walk backwards. I mean, he can barely walk forward. It would be an interesting image.
It's a very good metaphor for the manner in which he is driving human society.
Look, tell me about the blimp, because the last time he was in town, there was a quite a sizable inflatable bombing over the city.
Yeah, I didn't. Well, to be honest, I thought it was a bit of a letdown when I saw it, because there'd been an awful lot of coverage of this blimp, which, you know, is a caricature of Donald Trump and supposed to make him look very foolish. And then when I saw it, I thought it was actually quite modest, really. And now apparently it's going to be slightly larger. Look, I mean, the main thing will be the protests. He pretty much avoided London because he knew what he was going to be in for in the city. Last time, sort of as much time as he could in Scotland. This time, that's not really possible on a state visit. You sort of have to do that. So clearly there's been some sort of assessment in Washington that the protests will not happen this time, or it's all died down. If so, I have to say, they're really quite wrong about that. He continues to be this incredibly galvanizing political force who people love to self-identify in opposition to him, quite rightly. So there will be very substantial protests, and, you know, the TV footage will be of him being greeted by those who despise him.
Ian, when the idea of Trump getting a state visit was first mooted, almost 2 million people signed a petition saying, no thanks.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, again, they can't stop it. It's the same as the 6 million that signed a petition on revoking Article 50 and therefore Brexit. It doesn't trigger anything. I mean, there is massive popular resistance to him. That's very, very common. It goes pretty much across the political spectrum. Even most conservatives, not all, but most conservatives, you know, even in the manner in which he conducts his personal conduct, you know, the accusations around the way he treats women, and just generally, even the people who are quite right-wing tend to find him just unseemly, you know, the kind of thing you don't really want hanging around. There's a sliver of the right that do like him. Nigel Farage, you know, incredibly reactionary, who's connected into that sort of matrix with Steve Bannon and the rest of them, does support Donald Trump and is constantly saying nice things about him. But even on the right, that's quite rare. He is very generally dismissed and despised by pretty much everyone.
Mother Teresa is feigning enthusiasm. She has said it's an opportunity to strengthen our already close relationship in areas such as trade, investment, security and defence, and to discuss how we can build on these ties in the years ahead. Don't tell me there's a hint of insincerity in that.
Yes, indeed. I would urge you not to take those words at face value. She's been burned by him several times. I mean, he's quite nice to her to her face, as he usually does, and then says something which undermines her later on. They are at the moment pretending, it's in both of their interests to pretend this, that there is this great British-American free trade agreement on the horizon. The Brexiters want to pretend it because it's like their sort of totem. If they get that free trade agreement, they can say all of Brexit has been worth it. Not to worry about the fact that independent analysis shows that a US-UK free trade agreement will continue 0.2% to British GDP, which is, you know, obviously nothing compared to what the European single market does. For the very simple reason that America, you know, this is so simple, but apparently very hard to grasp for many reactionaries in Britain, that America is far away and countries do less trade with countries that are far away rather than those who are very close.
I'm shuffling through my papers here, trying to find the rapturous welcoming statement from Jeremy Corbyn. Have you got it with you?
No, you may have to shuffle for a little while longer. Jeremy Corbyn is about as far politically as you can get from Donald Trump. Although they share a sort of, you know, the normal rules of the game don't apply methodology to the manner in which they conduct themselves. And in fact, when Donald Trump was elected, Jeremy Corbyn's sort of people were putting out statements going, well, look, it shows that the system can be shaken up at any time. But obviously on the core politics, that there is almost no overlap there at all. Labour has gunned very, very hard on this, pointing out, you know, what the US was doing at the UN at that point, trying to oppose attempts to make to brand rape a sort of weapon of war. And at the same day, you know, Britain was sending out this invite for a state visit. So Labour are going to make good hay out of this. It's one of the few things that unifies their various voting blocs.
Ian, what on earth is Trump coming for? What's in it for him?
Yeah, exactly. Well, the question, what's in it for him and what's in it for Theresa May either? That they are so completely deaf outside of their echo chamber that they don't seem to realise that it's not going to work out for either of them. For Donald Trump, if he wants the pomp and the pageantry, he has to recognise the fact that on TV cameras, that is going to be framed by countless tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of demonstrators who will be screaming at him. So, I mean, he's not going to get the gift that he's looking for there. Theresa May, I mean, doesn't need anything to undermine her political position further, but associating herself closely with the most despised American president of all time in the UK does not seem to be a very good way of going about it. And if all of this is ultimately strategically supposed to end up with a UK-US FTA, it A, would provide nothing to the economy, B, doesn't seem attainable on either a domestic or an international level, and C, is so far off that is unable to do any good for either of them in their political lifespan. So quite what either of them are thinking is completely beyond me.
I've got some good news for you, son. Really, this is going to cheer you up. You complained about that wimp of a blimp. I understand the new one will be five times the size of that blimp, and it will depict Trump as a wailing baby in a nappy. Now, come on, admit that is, you take some pleasure in that.
I do. And look, I also don't want to I think that the idea of approaching protest to him in this way is a smart one. He is just a warbling ball of id. That is all that he is. You know, the arrogance, that sense of petrified self that he has, of constantly needing to look like the tough guy. The idea of using satire against him, of mockery, of undermining him in the cheapest possible way, I suspect that that is the most effective and hurtful way of approaching him.
Good on you, mate. Lovely to talk to you. That's Ian Dunt, editor of politics.co.uk.